Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I was just getting my little jerk-off dance going. Where am I supposed to sit?
Yeah, don't worry, I'll be my own stagehand. I'll be my own roadie. It's cool.
We got it.
We had to find a
good
venue,
to see you.
You know, with 9 days. And these lovely people here were like, we got you. And then you guys sold it out in like 24 hours.
I'm gonna turn my back to y'all over there. I'm gonna turn it around a little bit so you can see my pretty face.
I'm gonna move back so I can see the people over there. Hey, guys.
There's a guy over there wearing a Pod Save shirt.
Ouch.
Get out.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
Ouch.
Hello, Pittsburgh. Welcome to the next level. JBL here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell and Tim Miller of The Bulwark. So last night we were in Philadelphia and our colleague Andrew Egger went on this fantastic rant about how he was so stupid that Trump wasn't using Nikki Haley, and all this polling shows that, you know, it's the Haley voters who are really open to going for Kamala. And, you know, and here it was, his own hubris was going to cost him the election. And we get back to the hotel and fuck me if Mark Caputo isn't reporting Mar-a-Lago looking into calling in Nikki Haley at the 11th hour.
Damn it, Egger.
So let's not give any good advice tonight to the Trump campaign. But then he goes on Fox and Friends this morning to say,
it's like,
I mean,
she sucks. Nobody's ever lost by as much as she has. Why would I need her? It's like, and I guess some people, nobody's ever like, why don't you campaign with DeSanctimonious? You know, and he's like, he did better than she did, so why wouldn't I campaign with him instead of her? So and I guess he wasn't really aligned with Susie Wiles on that.
And then he starts talking about the people he does want to really talk about, which is RFK. And RFK is definitely going to be in the cabinet, which sounds amazing for America. Sarah, you have something interesting that you picked up on RFK Jr. and what the people think about him.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We had this conversation last night that his net favorables, higher than Trump,
you know,
higher than Harris.
I didn't pick this up.
Higher than
this
Taylor
was Bill.
Swift.
Bill was sitting there just like freaking out in the green room, reading off the new Fox News poll that was showing that RFK had higher favorables than Taylor Swift. And Bill is a real Swifty, and so he was like super upset about this. Here's the thing, though. Everybody's favorables go up once they get out of the race. I don't know if you've looked at Biden's lately, but they've really gone up too. And so I was a little less alarmed about this because I think people are just happy he's not in the race anymore. I don't know that it is like a super, I don't know that people are like, oh, I love me some RFK. He was down to 3% by the time he dropped out. People had rendered a judgment on his bear killing, dumping it in the wood, like in Central Park. Then he was like, maybe going to eat the bear.
Do you know the one I saw today? Have you seen this? Maybe I just missed it. I feel like I see everything. So whenever I see a weird video, I'm like, how'd this one get past me? But it was RFK. It was an old video of him on some Zoom during the pandemic telling people that when he goes hiking in, where's the place everybody hikes in LA?
Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, up in Topanga Canyon. He's like, when I go hiking and I see a mother with a young baby in a satchel, I go up.
He wants to eat it?
No. I go up to the mother and I say, don't vaccinate that child.
Oh.
And I'm like, you go up to strangers to tell them not to vaccinate their children? That's weird. That's weirder than the bear thing, I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And could you imagine if that if that man with all of his like steroids and his weird voice came up to you and he's like, "Hey, your kid right there. Don't vaccinate him." I'm like, "I'm going to get a double dose today. Get away from me." Very weird.
So this dovetailed nicely with a story in the New York Times this morning with anonymous Trump allies who are worried. They're very concerned that he's back to being erratic. And he might cost himself the election.
Yeah, great news. Yeah.
Don't get excited. Do you have thoughts on this?
Do I have thoughts on whether or not Trump is back to being erratic?
Can we read the exact quote, actually?
Yeah, because
can we read the exact quote? My husband, he left. He doesn't want to hear me podcast again. So he went to the Irish bar around the corner. He texted me this. He texted me earlier the exact quote. To wit, those close to Trump are privately worried that the former president is returning to his usual ways in the final days of the campaign, concerned that his, quote, impetuousness and scattershot style on the campaign trail needlessly risk victory. Tyler sends us, returning? Question mark?
But wait, what's that in? What's
the New York Times.
Okay. This is...
Tim, I thought you didn't want to hear criticisms of the New York Times anymore.
No, I just don't want to blame... Never mind.
No, it's worth talking about for 2 minutes. Not to criticize, because the media criticism can get overdone.
All I was saying on the other podcast, it's not the New York Times' fault that we're here, because it's only us. It just exists to piss
blame
us
for
off.
Everyone.
I can still
There's
be
enough
pissed
blame
off.
For everyone,
I
Timothy.
Can still be mad at the New York Times for their bad writing. I'm just saying it's not their fault that we're in this place. It's other people's fault.
I think this is more of an instance of how ill-equipped we are to handle Donald Trump and continue to be, despite the fact that it is 8 years later, and like they should know better now. They should understand that the idea of saying Donald Trump is going, even letting these Republicans be quoted anonymously. Like there's in that small snippet, it encapsulates everything that is wrong with the current political moment. The fact that these Republicans go on background, the fact that it is RFK that's the problem and not Trump's horrible judgment that would bring him in. It's the way that they think that they can still, but they think they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are gonna make sure that we don't get the weirdo like RFK. No, responsible Donald Trump will get elected. He just needs to keep those irresponsible people like Laura Loomer and Kanye and the other white supremacist he had dinner with and then everything will be fine. Everything about that. And then the media and the way they print it just demonstrates how insufficiently they've been able to figure out how to talk about Donald Trump still now.
Right, you just fall back into the old habits, which is a writ large problem of just like, well, you know, and on this side, they're saying this, on this side, you know, and some Democrats are also nervous about Kamala's campaign because the organization in Pennsylvania isn't quite as strong as some people think it might be in Politico. And so I'm like, you end this up with a story, and people are like, some Democrats are worried about Kamala's grassroots efforts in Pennsylvania, and some Republicans are concerned that Donald Trump has completely lost his mind, you know? And it's like...
Both sides!
Everybody's a little concerned about what's happening, you know, within the campaign on each side. I have one other thing, though, on the Trump, on the RFK Nikki thing. Because taken together... And I just do hope that you people in your lives, I said this last night, if you have a friend that's on the fence in Pennsylvania, I'm doing individual phone calls. I'm doing one-on-one phone calls to Pennsylvania Republicans that are on the fence. So if you have anybody, just let me know afterwards. But like as a writ large message to this group, you might have an opportunity to do this soon, in addition to your ads. It's like, Trump is telling you what his administration is going to be. You know, like Dan Crenshaw, when me and him were having that debate, he's like, well, what about what happened in 2017? And it's like, Trump is telling you what he wants to do when he gets back in. And it's Nikki Haley, she is a bird brain, I don't care about her, get her away from me. RFK, I want that dude in the inner circle, all right? He's going to be in the cabinet, and whatever crazy shit he's into, like, that's what we're going to be doing. Like, he's telling these voters that he doesn't want them. And it's important to kind of package that in a way that it sinks in with people, I think, in these last 18 days, because that remains an important demographic, like the demographic that would want Trump to have Nikki Haley around, not RFK.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go back to them, the New York Times being ill-equipped. Like, and I know that we're going to sort of talk about this in a second, but the idea that Donald Trump is going to put RFK in the cabinet, like, this is like a joke from an alternative universe. Like, it's like a thing that you're like, but this can't be possibly happening. And I do think that we should sit here tonight. Look, the three of us are together a lot, and we are trying to process what's happening. And I think one of the things we struggle with is like, what the fuck, man? Like, what, how do you make people, how do you, and I normally don't swear on the podcast, but like, I don't, it's like, we are insufficiently alarmed. I keep using the word insufficiently because everything's insufficient to the moment, right? We are like sleepwalking into an autocracy, and we've got to do something to like shake people and say, is this a thing that you want? Like, these are two lunatic people who will tell you that they've paid off porn stars and murdered bears and they assault children and they don't believe in vaccines. And one of them literally led the program. There's like the only thing he did well in his administration. He did one thing, Operation Warp Speed, and they got the vaccines up. And literally he's now bringing on board the one guy who hates vaccines more than anybody else. And now he's like, yeah, we're best friends. And he's gonna be in my cabinet telling everybody not to get vaccinated. Why isn't everybody freaking out about this stuff?
Well, I took a...
Well, yeah, we are, but there.
I mean, I was pretty freaked out this afternoon, but I took a Xanax before coming up here.
And I gotta tell you, JBL take a Xanax, he comes up to me. He comes up to me backstage, like we're at a panic, like I'm back at a panic show in 2005. He's like, check this out. And he takes out his tongue and shows me a little Xanax he put on there. I was like, okay, dude, calm down. All right, that's fine.
That's great.
It's a little pharmaceutical.
All right, so... Who wants to watch me play a game with Sarah?
Me.
So, you know the gay conversion therapy stuff, Tim? People say it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, it doesn't. I had a couple meetings.
Well,
didn't go
Sarah
well.
Sarah is a capitalist.
Oh, great. We're doing some capitalism conversion therapy.
And I'm going to convert her. Who wants to
like
watch Sarah
parallel.
Become a commie?
Wait a minute, and this, but the problem with this metaphor that you've just created is you're like the creepy priest trying
like
to keep me straight.
I'm like so worried about what's about to happen.
So, Susan Glasser.
Am I still allowed to be a lesbian? Or are you just getting rid of the capitalist? Or
just the capitalist.
Oh, okay.
Just the capitalism. We're gonna, I don't know what, you know, pray the Monet out of you.
That's pretty good.
yeah, this is the material, folks. Enjoy the veal. Susan Glasser just wrote like 25,000 words in The New Yorker about how the billionaires got back on Trump. Has anybody read this
yes.
This morning? It popped out.
I can't fucking I just want to
drop a couple of things here for Sarah, who believes in meritocracy and the greatness of capitalism, to respond to. So does anybody know who Nelson Peltz is? He's a billionaire type. He was a big in on Trump in 2016 and 2020. And then on January 7th, 2021, he went on to CNBC and said, I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed. I'm so embarrassed that I voted for him. This is horrible. Good for him, right? This is what we want, conversion.
Sarah Matthews and Nelson Peltz. Standing alone, January 7th.
I'm just going to read from The New Yorker now. In February, that's this February.
Is he for Kamala now?
The billionaire investor Nelson Peltz convened two dozen of the country's wealthiest Republicans for dinner at Monstoral, his $300 million oceanfront estate in Palm Beach. He opened by saying of Donald Trump, he's a terrible human being. But our country's in a bad place, and we can't afford Joe Biden. I'm sorry, you motherfucker. You can afford literally anything. So Peltz concluded, however much they might dislike it, quote, we've all got to throw our support behind him. That's
you
just quote number one.
You have succeeded in making me dislike Peltz.
Hold on.
I'm not sure capitalism is on the line yet.
Ed Rogers, a good, bushy, good Romney guy. Was a Jeb guy, I think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I know
that's
that.
Right.
There are a couple guys that I've been that I've texted with in this story.
Ed Rogers said that quote, "The choices are Biden or Trump, and I'm at peace with that. I wish it was, damn it, I would take me, you know. I wish it was a different equation," he said, "but it's not." Then we got a different equation. We got another person, not Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And
did that change his tune?
Ed Rogers is like, no, I can't vote for her either. Then Gordon Sondland. Do anybody remember him from Impeachment 1? Right? The guy with the Patek Philippe? Not that I was keeping score.
Penis.
That's a watch. I've learned that. I don't know if you caught that, but it's a watch that rich people wear.
He's the guy who wound up as ambassador to the EU, and he testified that
Donald Trump... You remember him,
sir?
He looks like a human penis.
I didn't want to say it. But he testified that Trump engaged in a quid pro quo with Zelensky. Donald Trump fired him like 2 days later. And this guy, he's like, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. He says, it's a binary choice, and I want the Trump policies. So here's my question, Sarah, about our capitalist billionaire class. Joe Manchin, who wrote the fucking Biden administration policies, can't endorse either Biden or Kamala Harris. But this class of people who hate Donald Trump, got nothing from him, and who Donald Trump despises, and who have all renounced him, are now like, yeah, we'll do anything. We'll do anything for him. So capitalism, defend it. We're all commies now.
You guys don't feel like this is a logic that follows, right? You see where, do you know who else is a capitalist and keeps running around talking about what a big capitalist she is?
Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Yay, capitalism.
I'm working on her next.
Please don't. She has to win Pennsylvania. Why don't you just go up to her and be like, hey, you know what? You should ban fracking, Kamala. And then don't take your advice. Listen, you're not going to succeed here because, you know, Mark Cuban is doing a great job out there. And you guys may not even know this because it's hard for me to talk about all the things, but we one of the things we're doing through our PAC is business leaders for Harris, which includes Mark Cuban and Reid Hoffman, the founder of LinkedIn, and a bunch of billionaires. And they don't care that their taxes might go up because they think democracy's on the line. And so I, you know.
Hashtag not all billionaires.
Hashtag not all billionaires.
Timothy, please jump in here. I mean, you're with me. You can pretend not to
I'm getting redder and redder every day. I got to tell you.
Thank you. Give it up for Tim.
You don't mean Republican red. You mean commie red.
Commie red, yeah.
I
really hate these people so much. The Gordon Sondland thing. I don't know. What do you guys think? Sam Stein, who we brought in, good guy. You might have seen him on the YouTube. He thinks that I should call. I'll tell him he had three cheers. Literally, not like three cheers for Sam, but three people cheering for him. He was like, you should call your old buddy Gordon and have the video team tape it. And I'm like, I honestly don't know if I can do that. But let me know. Let me know if you guys think that's a good idea after you hear this rant. Because Gordon was a big Jeb donor, so I had to talk to Gordon a lot. This fucking guy, another quote that I thought you were going to read. I'm happy you didn't because just every time I look at it, my blood pressure keeps going up. He's like, not only has he come around for Trump, he says to Susan that, he's like, you know, back when I got on early, you know, after he was for Jeb and against Trump and he didn't like Trump, but he's like, he got the ambassadorship. He's like, back then it was just like $50,000 to sit around a table with him. Like, wasn't that much. He's like, things have changed. Now you got to add a zero to that. And in exchange for the zero, you get around a table, and he talks for like 10 to 15 minutes, and that's it. And he's like, back in the old days, in the Bush days, at the end of that, the people would have wanted, or sitting around the table, would have wanted a picture with Bush to like put up on their in their office or whatever, which also seems like an expensive picture, but whatever. And he's like, but that isn't what these guys want. They want to get in the room because they're like, they think Trump's going to get back in there, and they know that they can just get theirs. Once he gets in there. So they just want access. They just want
grifts. Because he's a transactional person.
Yeah, they just want grifts. They just want to be able to call, and they just want straight grift. And I'm just like, okay, I mean, I guess if you're like in a highly regulated business and like this is what you need to do, like maybe I can understand the rationale of being one of the cogs that sends us down the road to Mussolini. But do you know what Gordon Sondland does? Anybody know? Want to shout out? He's a fucking hotelier. He's a hipster hotelier. He doesn't need any access. It's not like he's a fucking defense contractor. He doesn't need any deals with Donald Trump. He runs hipster hotels all around the country, and he has an unlimited amount of money, and he's paying $500,000 to get 10 minutes with this despicable creep that fired him? How fucking pathetic are you? Think about what you could do with $500,000. You could buy a little pied-a-terre somewhere. You could get a quarter of a PJ, fly around. You could give it to an orphanage, you know? And you could walk in and all the little kids would be so excited to see you every time you went in because they started to get better meals. Like, there's anything you could do with $500,000. You're giving it to Donald Trump so you can sit next to him for 10 minutes? I hate these people. I hate him. It makes me so mad.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Capitalism is about the free exchange of goods between individuals. I just want to. This is a different thing we're talking about.
Though?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but his kids don't deserve money. Okay, I'm still a capitalist, but his kids don't deserve money, though. Like, I'm now for an 100% death tax. I'm all in on the death tax. All right, like, if Gordon Sondland is going to use his money to buy Chris LaCivita a beach house and to pay for Donald Trump's lawyers instead of using it for something for the good of society, then I think that we need to garnish all of his money upon death.
Yeah.
I don't think this was in the piece. I only read the first half. But the Paul Singer is another donor that many of us know in our Republican world.
Oh my God, you're really gonna get me going now.
Yeah, sorry. But I just saw this, and now that we're talking about it, I remembered how angry this made me. He was recently in a meeting with Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was yelling at them, yelling at the rich guys in the room because they're not doing enough for him.
Yeah.
When Paul Singer, who funded the PAC that you worked on in 2016,
to stop
there were
Trump.
Still a lot of Republicans who were trying to defeat Trump,
yeah.
Trump put out like...
That PAC, just as a quick aside for people that miss this, the PAC that Paul Singer funded in 2016, it was called Our Principles PAC.
Our Principles PAC.
I was a spokesperson for that PAC. Now, the principle was that Donald Trump shouldn't be in the White House. So you'll be interested to learn that when Donald Trump won the nomination, he created a new PAC called Future 45, which supported putting Donald Trump in the White House, which did raise some questions about the name of the previous PAC that I had worked for. And he asked me to come work for that PAC, and I was like, literally, is this a prank call? Like, wasn't the name of the PAC Our Principles PAC? And his guy was like, yeah, but we gotta stick with the team now. And they're like, and he's like, everybody's on board except for you and Katie. And I was like, what? Everyone's on board? Everyone's on board. Yeah, I was the last one. Didn't do it. So that's Paul Singer. Now he's meeting with Trump, apparently getting yelled at for not giving him enough money.
This is the thing, Donald Trump, like, he had to get armed guards. He had like tons of, because Trump went after him for having funded that PAC. And now he's like, hey, no, let me sit at the table, and is taking heat from Trump. I can't remember like this staggering amount of dollars that he's already put in. But the message that Trump sat around the table and, you know, ate like an overcooked steak and yelled at all these rich guys, but how they're not doing enough for him. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. This isn't even a good transaction. Like, it isn't a good transaction. Like, if you're a rich person, you want to make more money. Again, if you have a, if there's a specific business where you think Trump will give you a good deal. But like, Paul Singer's an investor. Donald Trump wants to put in $1,000% tariff on shit. And Donald Trump, like, wants to turn the country into an autocracy. Like, do you think, is the hungry economy something to aspire to? You think Paul Singer's gonna do a lot better if our democracy collapses and we have an 1,000% tariff on all goods coming into the country?
Sometimes,
like, what are they doing?
Sometimes I just want to sit here and list insane things that have happened recently. And one of them is, like, remember when Trump was asked about foreign leaders and he cited Viktor Orban as his, like, character reference?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. That's just, like, popped into my head. Then there's another one. So lately he's been on this thing where he says, we were just peacefully protesting. We didn't have weapons, and the other side had weapons. When he's talking January 6th, no, not they, them.
They, them,
not
have
they,
weapons.
They, the insurrectionists. Donald Trump is, that is a we for him. Yeah. We, the insurrectionists.
They was the Capitol Police.
They, the Capitol Police. Are you just shouting out things that are insane? Because that's what I feel like doing. Like, it's when Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, and I actually know that Steve Bannon didn't really mean this when he was saying it, but when they were talking about, we're gonna flood the zone with shit, because the, America and human beings, they don't have enough bandwidth to take in all the shit that we're gonna flood it with and be able to parse each insane thing. Because if you just have one insane thing, people can get their minds around it. But if you have hundreds of insane things, if you tried to overturn an election, if you stood on the stage with Vladimir Putin and sided against America's intelligence community, if you slept with a porn star and then lied about it, and I don't know, what are the other ones? Yeah. If you cheated on your pregnant wife with that porn star.
I take your point, but can I take us to a darker place? Sorry, JVL took the Xanax, so can I be JVL for a second? Here's the thing.
I do not like you on Xanax.
Here's the thing.
I love me on Xanax.
The flood the zone with shit strategy is supposed to target the median American. And I do not mean this as a pejorative, but like people that are working, that have families, that have other shit, and like they don't have time to follow the news all the time. And it's just like all the more crazy stuff over here for Donald Trump becomes just noise, right? And like that is a workable strategy for them. And I understand why it works and why we have to combat it. But you use it like right as after we were just talking about Paul Singer, who is a political operative and donor who follows the news and understands this stuff and became unbelievably wealthy. And so it's like, that strategy shouldn't work on these people. Like, they fucking know better. They're not getting fooled by the flood the zone with shit strategy. They are bad. At their core, they are bad. And they've decided that they are willing to risk the country for their own fucking access and ego. They want to be able to go in to Air Force One. Like, that is what it's about. It's like about base human failings. So and that is actually worse.
One of Paul Singer's enemies is Tucker Carlson. Tucker hates Paul Singer. Used to, when he had his Fox show, he would go off on Singer all the time. Something
Tucker
about him
picks
being
the VP.
Ruthless and cosmopolitan. I don't remember exactly what the complaint is. Okay, that's a joke.
I didn't even get it. What is?
Tucker made an anti-Semitic joke about Paul Singer.
He didn't. I'm saying that his objection could have been read, possibly,
sure,
as that. It was a lot of, these activist investor globalist types.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, like, Paul Singer, Trump hates him. Tucker hates him. The future of the party is heading out towards Tucker and JD world. This is what I don't understand. So with guys like Gordon Sondland and Paul Singer, don't they have a shred of self-respect? I mean, I will spite people for nothing, right?
This is really true about him, actually.
You know, somebody rejected a piece of mine when I was 23, and I still have them on a list, right? And, but
he walks around going, everybody who's not us is an enemy.
Yes. In my defense, it's true. But these guys, they just roll over for anything. And I don't understand, like, can you get really rich by just just letting the whole world walk all over it. I didn't think that's how it worked.
Actually, now that we're talking about this, I have another objection.
Great.
Which is, we spent a lot of time, all of us did, in sort of conservative world around these restrictions, and there's a lot of talk about how great America is and about how liberals don't care about America. And like why they're conservative is rooted in this idea that like American, you know, and it is, this is American dream capitalism, whatever. How much do you have to hate America though, deep down? Like there's no love for America. Donald Trump has the darkest vision of America and who we are, talks about, says we're a third world nation, we're a failing nation. And the idea that if they actually cared about this country, like in any meaningful sense, because what's weird about this is like the urgency, the imperative. We must get Donald Trump elected.
Yeah.
Or what? Or like libs are gonna give you taxes?
Yeah,
like,
that's it, Sarah. Now I'm taking you into hell. We're taking you into hell. We're gonna take you all the way to the bottom now, and then we're gonna build you guys back up for the end of the podcast. But they hate America. They actually hate America. They hate America as it is actually constituted. And that's what it comes down to. No. They liked the idea of it. Like the, oh yeah, Hulk Hogan and we're really strong and we're back-to-back World War champions. Like that was the kind of thing that they liked. But like the multicultural country where people can be able to go live out their dreams in any way they choose. Turns out they don't like that very much, because sometimes people choose ways that they don't care about, that they don't care for, either in gender and sexual politics or in campus politics. And their hatred of the people that are choosing a path that they don't like completely overwhelms their love of America. And fundamentally, like, I hate to say this because it's not a nice thing to say. Like, you just can't. You can't love America and be for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Like, you can't. You just can't. You don't.
You might trick yourself. Certainly not if you're one of these rich guys.
Sure.
Because I take your point about these guys who have access to all the information.
Yeah.
And they understand all the facts. You know, it's different maybe for... I'll take it from a voter who has like a very specific idea around Patriot, Donald Trump hugging the flag and making a big show of it, whatever. And
but
they're
again,
mad
Trump,
about
Trump said
you know,
they were the
Capitol
Police.
6 years ago, one of them kneeled, some athlete kneeled for the anthem, and so now they have to vote for Donald Trump. I can forgive sort of a regular voter for that in a way that I cannot these rich guys.
I guess that's true, but Donald Trump is literally campaigning on the side of like the there's an enemy within the country that we need to root out. That the people that were that were trying to protect the Capitol from his rioters are the enemy within. They're the other side. The Capitol Police are the other side, and that his people, the ones that stormed the Capitol to try to overturn the election, are actually great patriots that need to be let out of prison. And they're being treated like Japanese at the internment camps. That's what he said today. Like,
we should be interning the brown people.
That is his explicit program. It's his explicit program is that there is an enemy within the country that needs to be rooted out. So yeah, I guess, sure, there could be people that don't understand Donald Trump's program that are for him for surface reasons, that's fine. But like, if you understand his program and you are for him, then like, you're not for America.
I have one quibble with this, which is that is, your diagnosis is true for many of them. But a guy like Paul Singer, I bet that Singer...
People in the audience are like, why are they so obsessed with
Paul
Singer?
Because we know these fuckers.
Yeah.
That's why. I bet that Singer, like Mike Pence, secretly hopes that Trump loses.
Guys,
this
is
different pathology.
True.
This is a different pathology, right? There are the people who hate America because of it's not what they want it to be, and so they want to... make it what they want it to be. But then there's another class
of these
guys who just think, somebody else will take care of this shit for me. I don't want to put a toe out of line. I don't want to risk
That's fucking worse. It's been a decade. There's no rational view to that right now. I mean, I'm sorry. I know. I saw that we were taking you to hell. We were building you back up. We're going down one more level. We're in Dante's Inferno now. It's a coin flip. Right now, it's a coin flip. The moment to stop him is now. It's right now, right this second. Like there is no cavalry. Like, we have to do it. And so if you're donating to Donald Trump, I don't accept that anymore. I don't accept it. There were people that secretly wanted him to lose in 2020, but all these people that we're talking about, they had a chance, they had agency to stop Donald Trump in 2021. Like, there was a moment to stop him. Mm-hmm. And again, I know none of you give a fuck about Paul Singer. We keep bringing him up, but I'm just saying as an example, like, he could say, I was not going to donate to any of you senators that don't vote to convict him. We need to end this right now. He actually had agency. Like, there's a small number of people that had agency. The senators, the big Republican donors, the advisors to the senators. Like, there were people that had agency in January 2021 to say, this is over now. This is over now. You're done. Okay? We're going to convict you. You cannot run again. We are going to move on. And he was among those people. So I don't accept from any of those people, oh, I'm really secretly I secretly want him to lose so I can get Glenn Youngkin next time. No, fuck you. Fuck you. You're for him. You're for him. Own it. You're for him.
Here's the thing. This is where the nihilism kicks in on it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a little less than they're for him.
Baby.
They're for him.
They want... They're hedge fund managers, and they are hedging their bets, right? This is they are playing both sides. They know Kamala Harris isn't going to throw them in jail for opposing her or for supporting Donald
Trump.
Obviously. They're like, I hope she wins so that we can. I think that to the extent that they care about and have ever cared about the conservative movement, the conservative experiment, whatever. They want Kamala Harris to win and Donald Trump to lose, because if Donald Trump wins, and they know this, if Donald Trump wins, the party is his forever. Like, and it's still already kind of his, but like every next step locks it in further, makes it impossible to go back to anything that resembles what they thought they knew. And so they know it's better for them if Kamala wins, but they think he might. And so for them, they have to be, they think like that we have to go hedge against this. Which is just nihilistic and terrible. That is where...
This is why I can't call Gordon Sondland tomorrow, by the way, because I just... this has filled me with murderous rage. We need to move on.
Yeah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your Xanax is allowing us to just, we're, now we've worked ourselves into a lather.
You guys are cooking. Just keep going. You're having a great show. No, this is great. You guys just described capitalism, and it sounds like it's working out fabulous. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit. I wrote today about the Al Smith dinner. Please, some of you fucking clap like you read it.
Please clap.
She was sitting 5 inches from me as I wrote it, and she didn't read it.
I had to catch up on earlier week's triads. They're long.
Anyway, and I was really worked up about the idea of normalcy. And, like the Cardinal Dolan and Chuck Schumer. And
explain what the dinner is, because I
don't need to. They read it.
Raise your hand if you read JVL's triad. That's kind of
a
lot
solid
of people.
A solid eight.
Yeah.
So the Al Smith dinner is a dinner for Catholic charities to raise money in New York. It is traditionally in quadrennial years, the last time that the two major party candidates see one another. It takes place after the third debate in normal times when we have 3 debates and election day. So it's always like this period, this 2 or 3 weeks.
It's an important fundraiser as well, because like there's a big backlog of kind of legal funds that the Catholics had to pay for all the pedophile priests.
For Teddy McCarrick.
So like right. kind of like they're paying off all of the old pedophile priest lawsuits I mean, many years ago. It's important to have the fundraiser.
Tough but fair. So, and it's a roast. It's a it's a lighthearted comedy moment where they come in and they jab with each other, but they're very self-deprecating too. And it's like, we're all on the same team here. And you know, they just had the guy who wants to be a dictator come and do it. And all these people just sat there like it was normal, including Chuck Schumer. And, on the one hand, I want everybody to stop doing that because you're helping him. But on the other, we're wired to not be able to stop doing that because you can't live in a state of existential alarm for a decade without losing your mind, right?
This is the triad I read of JBL's that I actually think is one of the best ones he's ever written, which is about how we are biologically...
It's hard for you to be the judge on the best one he's ever written.
It's one of the best ones I've ever read.
There you go.
But we are hardwired to not live in a state of emergency. Our nervous systems can't take it. Don't you feel like your nervous system can't take it? Right?
No, I'm good.
And so we do this. Do you know I was at a live show one time and a woman came up and like pressed into my hand many, like a full, one of those crinkly tab things of Xanax. And she was like, this is for JVL. And I was like, and people give us stuff at the shows all the time. But I was like, I don't think I can. She's like, it's cool. I'm a pharmacist. And I was like, oh, well, in that case, I'll keep these. Anyway, sorry, what were we talking about?
About how
can't live like this. And like we are wired. One of Donald Trump's, it's like, it's on purpose to some degree to like, to exhaust us and to stress us to the point where like you tap out a little bit. Like we are hardwired to normalize things that are not normal, to adjust to a new reality because we're just not capable of living up here. And what's the problem, that's why authoritarians are successful though, is because yeah, it's like you do get exhausted by it, and then you can't maintain that level of emergency, which is literally maybe why we exist, is to constantly try to keep people in a state of emergency, like we are not sufficiently alarmed.
Yeah, that is why we exist, and it's turning me crazy. But that's okay, all right? You know, just a little bit of Jack Nicholson for me at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'll be fine. It is disappointing, is really what it comes down to. Like watching the Al Smith dinner makes me want to vomit. Like, the fact that only Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Mark Cuban seem to like, and Sarah Matthews seem to care about this to the level that it merits caring about is frustrating. Besides, obviously, Democrats and people, but like of the people outside of the core Democratic Party. And it's frustrating, and it's frustrating to watch that. And I do think that like part of the anxiety that I'm feeling, that I'm sure some of you are feeling, is like a frustration with that. Is that like we're getting to the last 18 days or 17, however many days, how many days we got left? 16 now? I said 18. We're getting to the last 18 days and it's like, people should be running around in the street screaming. this cannot fucking happen again. Like, it's a coin flip. Like, this cannot happen again. We cannot have him in there again. All right, we have to stop it. And I've been like noodling over. Jamie also write 5 triads a week, and I like write once a month now that I have a daily podcast. It's nice, so I can really make them good. I've been noodling over how to write about this and like how to think about it and how to try to penetrate with people at the very end. But it's like it is brain breaking when you're like you're looking at this choice out there, and you're like we have this choice between like we are there's like a plate of food in front of you, and somebody's like I don't know. 30% chance arsenic is in there. You don't know. You can it's not even gonna taste that good either. It's like a sloppy Joe, with 30% chance arsenic in it. And then over here, it's like, we got a roast chicken. And I'm like, all right, shouldn't it be 100% to zero roast chicken? And like, that's not happening right now, right? And it's like, people are like 50-50. I'm standing there and people keep walking up to the plate and trying the sloppy Joe. I'm like, what am I missing? What am I missing? Why are people trying the sloppy Joe?
So
And I know why, and I know the actual reasons, but even still, like after what we've been through, like I understand kind of like the anxiety that creates, and I share the disappointment that like there are so many people that are not treating it as if it's chicken or arsenic, but you know. Where was I going to go to be positive?
I don't know, we should call this tour our In Our Feelings tour.
Where was I going to go to be positive at the end? I was going to close out with something positive.
We'll get there. We have time.
Was I rounding the corner to something positive?
I think that we probably we should find our rank punditry mode, because in rank punditry mode, I have some optimism.
Okay, well, hold on. I'm not ready. I host this show.
Great, I'll stay sad. It's fine.
Two things. First of all, I do think it's important to sort of name why everybody's so anxious. So it's the third time Trump is running, but this is the first time that we've hit this moment in the election and people have thought that he has an excellent chance to win, right? Because by this point, the Comey letter hadn't come out and Hillary was up by like 5.5 points in 2016, and Biden was up by like 7.5 in 2020. Okay. So, you know, at this point in the other two elections, everybody was like, yeah, he's toast. Don't worry. It's going to be fine. And now everyone's like, coin flip. And that's new for us. So in addition to everything else and knowing what he really looks like and knowing what a Trump presidency is, you know, so
we
know
state. Are you ready to something positive?
Not yet. No.
Okay, good.
No. But I did want to...
How many layers did Dante have? You've done Dante.
You know, I forget.
Six?
But the other question I have for you is, so we say that, like, you know, we can't live like this in a state of emergency. It seems like the bad guys can. Yeah. Am
well,
I wrong about
to
that?
It's causing the emergency than being, like, experiencing the emergency.
Can you unpack that for me?
I mean, yeah, like, there's momentum to offense. There's momentum, like... Donald Trump loves to live in a crazy land. Like it's easier to burn things down than it is to build them. It's easier to destroy than it is to like, that just is.
Is the answer is that because they know that if they lose, Kamala Harris isn't gonna do anything bad to them? I mean, isn't that what it really is? What it really is they understand that, well, if the good guys win, the good guys are a bunch of pussies. They're not gonna turn Washington, D.C. into a state.
Well, and
they're not gonna do any of the things that would need to be done to create structural reforms to prevent minority rule.
This is
you guys know I'm going with that, right?
Find, that's so difficult to live with, right? Is all of the Republicans, and we know people like this, a lot of people like this, who are like, but it'll be a disaster if Kamala Harris wins, like the end of the world. And you're like, but why? And it's like, well, she's a socialist, and she's gonna pack the courts, and I don't know, they don't
save
have
NATO,
much else.
Green New
open
Deal,
the wars, open the borders,
kind of a Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You
could
know,
happen. Free lunches for every kindergartner. That could happen. Trans people, kids could go into school as a boy, come right out as a girl. You never know what could happen.
This is so funny. Donald Trump says this all the time, and I always just want to be like, if that happens to you, if you dropped your kid off, like you dropped your kid off a boy, and then like you come home and you pick up a girl, you've got the wrong kid. Like it's not.
The peeing, the cats. Any of you have children or grandchildren identifying as a cat? It is a widespread issue. It's happening everywhere.
Would Kamala pardon Trump?
Fuck no. Fuck no. Biden might have done it. Kamala's not. Kamala the cop, she's not pardoning Trump. All right, thank you. We've turned the corner.
Kamala's gonna win,
and we're not gonna pardon him.
So you're going to close. ABC, always be closing.
Okay, so it's me?
You, Timothy.
I am in my feelings.
What's happening?
I am in my feelings. Here's the thing. I just want to explain it, because I'm going to be in my feelings in the podcast for the next 3 weeks, and whatever. You guys listen, you're here, you know, we're all here to support each other. Sometimes people say to me, it's like, you're calming to me. I'm like, really? All right, I appreciate that. I don't exactly get why. I'm not calming to myself. But, you know, part of it, I think, is the candor. Like, part of this is that we're all, like, dealing with this together, right? Like, we're communing over this. Like, everybody has people in their lives that we're like, did you turn it? Yeah, I watched The Bad Guys so you don't have to, but, and I also kind of talk about this so you don't have to talk about it with your friend or mom or aunt or whoever it is in your life that you're like, really, you're gonna be for Trump? And so I think that there is that like element to this, but like the downside of like being honest with each other and being here with our feelings is like, sometimes you're gonna get me in my feelings. And it's like, the best case, the best actual case scenario, let's talk about that for a second. The best actual case scenario is she could win all seven. She really could win all seven. I think that there is poll hurting happening. It's pretty obvious there's poll hurting happening because all these pollsters want to have good ratings, so none of them want to have any outliers. It's like, we don't really know whether there's an error, or, like, which way the error is, and it's possible there's a couple point error towards her, not what we need. Has anybody here been polled?
No.
You've been polled, a couple people? Yeah. I mean, look, there are good pollsters out there, so I don't think it's junk science. I'm just saying I do think some people are fudging the numbers a little bit. That said, she could win all seven. We could all be happy. There might be some mad MAGA people, and there might be some stochastic terrorism, but like, honestly, all things considered, that's our best case scenario outcome. So enjoy that if it happens. I still believe that the mean outcome is that she wins like 270 or 276 electoral votes. So let's be happy about that. I do think so. I think that's the most likely outcome, that she wins, that she either wins these three states that we're in, plus Omaha, plus Nevada, or not Nevada. And that would be I don't know about that. So that's 276. And this is where I want to come. Like, that fucking sucks. Like, I will be happy, I will play my Kamala Coconut playlist, like, the podcast will be amazing the next day when they call it, we will be partying together, but like, at the biggest picture right now, when you think about it, like, that says something very bad about our country. If she wins this thing with 276 votes, and you guys are dealing with angry red-hatted people in Harrisburg talking bullshit like they were just doing during the hurricane about, oh, I don't know, I was in Luzerne County one day and I saw somebody come in and there were two Janes on the list. And I was like, there can't be two Janes in Luzerne County. There must be something illegal happening here. And then Don Jr. posts it and there are like 8 million TikTok views. Right? Like, if that is like the median outcome, and I think it is, like, it says something not great about our fellow countrymen. And I don't like that. I like to be happy. I like to be positive and uplifting.
Yeah.
But, like, that is our reality. And I just think that we have to kind of process all that together and deal with it. And hopefully, by talking to all of our friends, we're here in Pennsylvania, by talking to folks that are on the edge, nudging a few extra people over, and making the difference from being 276 versus 268, because that's a pretty big difference.
I'm gonna let Sarah take it home, but I'll give you guys my what? My concern. So Hillary Clinton finishes with 49.6% of the popular vote. Biden finishes with 51.5. I suspect Harris is going to be in the middle of the two. So if she splits the middle, that puts her at 50.5. It puts her over the magic 50, like, she'll have a flat majority of the country voting for her.
Woo!
And she may, I mean, it is a coin toss at that point. Like, you know, does she win the Electoral College or does she lose it? I don't think we've had a president lose the Electoral College while winning a flat majority of the popular vote. I think that is an absolute possibility this time around. And if that happens, I mean, I know everybody's like, well, the popular vote doesn't matter. Believe me, it will matter to people. Believe me, it will matter. It is one thing to say, well, you know, she only had a plurality, or, you know, with Gore's, the same thing. It only had a plurality of the vote. And with, you know, to have a flat majority of the country saying, we want this, and then the system gives you that, and it's been happening like this for 30 years now, that's really a problem, and that is one of the things that I worry about
a lot in addition to everything else.
So let's make that not happen.
So Sarah, tell us why it's all gonna work out.
So that's a problem you can't do anything about, because the Electoral College isn't going anywhere. And so whenever he gets on his thing about the Electoral College, I'm like, it is what it is, man. Here's the thing. So these guys are killing me right now. Yeah.
This bro over here in the Friend of the Pod shirt is like, this is not how they do it at Pod Save America shows. It's like, we're gonna do it, guys. Vote Save America.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Well, here's the thing. We were in Philly last night. Charlie Dent was one of our special guests, former congressman from Pennsylvania. And he endorsed Kamala on the stage. He had said that he had voted for Kamala Harris during early voting. And I have a few theories about why I think this election's going to go the way we need it to go. The first is that I no longer care about the national average. Like, I have stopped looking at that. Now, I am doing some things, whether it's out of self-preservation to maintain my nervous system, but in some ways it's actually just like a very calculated, like, what do we need to do? And I basically stopped caring about Arizona, and I stopped caring about Georgia, and I stopped caring, I never cared about North Carolina.
We still could get North Carolina.
Huh?
Me and her and a couple other people are caring about North Carolina for you.
That's fine. I'm just gonna tell you what we need.
Okay, yeah.
What we need.
Yeah.
Can't always get what you want. But sometimes, if you try.
Play it, George.
Here's what we need. We need Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and Nebraska too. I feel good about Michigan and Wisconsin, where the margins were considerably better in 2020. And where in Wisconsin, we've got a couple things that we've seen since the 2020 election. In Michigan, we saw Gretchen Whitmer win by double digits there and get the MAGA candidate rejected.
She just called Detroit a shithole too.
He's out there winning, making friends and influencing people. And in Wisconsin, there was a very important Supreme Court race in the state with a relatively progressive judge, and she won by like 11 points. Okay, so I feel like in both of those states, and the polling has been the best in those states. You guys, there's a reason we came here tonight, and there's a reason we started in Philly, is because Pennsylvania's the ball game. Okay, and I don't know if you know this, but I'm from here. I grew up in Perry County. Did you guys know I grew up in Perry County? I talk about it sometimes. My parents now live in Cumberland County, and I also lived there when I was older. Pennsylvania is an interesting state, right? We've always liked, we like our moderates. We like our Charlie Dents and our Tom Ridges. And I think that in 2016, obviously I do the focus groups all the time. I've listened to voters over and over again talk about how they just didn't think Trump was gonna win. And so, like, they took a flyer on him, and they were Republicans. But right now, if you look at the polling from Pennsylvania, the New York Times Siena poll, 11% of Republicans in this state, self-identified Republicans, say they're going to vote for Kamala Harris. Right? It has the kind of Republicans in Bucks County, right, the collar counties. These people were McCain voters, they were Romney voters, and they have been getting bluer and bluer as time has gone on, because Donald Trump is repelling them from the party. And so I think that late-breaking independents, these right-leaning independents, soft GOP voters, it's who we talk to all the time, I think they break for her, ultimately. That's one data point. The second is the boys versus girls thing, men versus women. And the question that I've been asking myself all the time is that if I was running a campaign, which would I want? Would I want to rely on women to turn out? Women who show up to vote, who are a majority of the population and make up a majority of the actual voters in every election? Or would I want to put it on Joe Rogan listeners? Which would it be? I'll take the women every day, all right?
Typical lesbian.
Typical lesbian. I'm sorry that I have a high opinion of women, and I think that when men fail to get the job done, women tend to show up and do it, right? But I also just have a lot of faith in Pennsylvania.
And I think that Pennsylvania is gonna bring it home, but this is the thing that we need from you guys. So we talked a little bit before about like our nervous systems and the way that this, the like authoritarians know this. They know that by exhausting us, they know by hitting us with too many things to respond to, so many lies that you can't combat them effectively one after the other. They know that is how you get people to just give up, throw up their hands. And I talked about the fact that like right now it feels like we're sleepwalking into this autocracy because nobody feels like up to the task. But I believe this, I genuinely believe this, that there are so many just quiet Kamala voters, people who have kind of tapped out because they're like, I can't take it, right? Our nervous systems can't take it. They're gonna avail themselves of their early voting like Charlie Dent did. And a lot of these center right voters are gonna walk in and say, I do not wanna do another 4 years of Donald Trump. And I believe that Pennsylvania is gonna be the tipping point state and that Kamala Harris is gonna win here. That's Tim over there, by the way. But here's the thing, guys, I say this a lot, you cannot roll up your sleeves if you are wringing your hands. And so despite all of us up here wetting the bed and being in our feelings, like the point of us coming was to tell you to try to like communicate how serious it is. And I know you know that because otherwise you wouldn't be here, but like, don't just panic. Don't refresh 538. Call everyone you know. Call the people who are soft Republicans. I know that you know them. Our voters tend to be center left to center right. And if you're progressive, great, pod save dude. We actually welcome you here. We love you, yeah, we love those guys.
Good.
But like, go do something. George Conway was knocking on doors in Pennsylvania yesterday in Bucks County. Like, anything you can do, do it, because this state is the whole ball game. Marginal voters in this state are gonna make the difference. This is how we win this election, so it's up to you guys. And we just wanna come out here and not depress you, we actually wanted to pump you up, so be pumped up.
I told you we'd turn the corner.
Guys,
I told you we'd turn the corner.
Guys,
it's been a minute.
It's been a good show. It's been a long show. Thank you for coming out. We're going to go get changed and come out and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we're going to say hi. Come say hi to us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.